The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen ve'amen.
Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Marat Zekenati, Yafa Batzara, Velu Nishmat, Abraham ben Esther, Hashem Tenihem, Began Aiden, Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Asher Imam, Moshe ben Nira, Vilatan ben, Shunamit, Inna Refana Lahem, Fata Nefesh, Fata Guf, Fata Nkar, Bada Bavichin, Inna Sovar, Mar, Amen. We begin today's daf on Nuntet Amud Lishon. We are 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines down. Okay, now, we learned in a Beraita previously, Rabbi Yosef Gileli said that Hamazik Shahat, if a person, let's say, a person, an animal eats Shahat, Shahat is like the stubble in the field, okay? So it says he has to pay what it's going to be worth, the field, after it's fully grown. You pay not according to what it is now, the depreciation, but the depreciation according to a field that's at the harvest time, that's about to be cut. How much would the field be worth if, let's say, this was not cut? And you make the depreciation according to that shi'ur. So now, Abaye is going to find that Rabbi Yosef is not alone. There's another opinion that agrees to Rabbi Yosef. We begin. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Yosef Gileli, Rabbi Ishmael, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Yosef Gileli had Amran. Rabbi Yosef Gileli, we said it already, by the Sha'at. Rabbi Ishmael de Tanya. Okay, now we're talking about over here, an animal went to somebody else's field and damaged, trampled the perot, whatever it may be, right? So it's metav sadeh, metav karmo yishalem. So the mazik has to pay metav. Metav is the best, right? So metav sadeh shel nizak, metav karmo shel nizak, tevrei Rabbi Ishmael. Rabbi Akiva omer, lo ba katuv ela ligbot lenizakin min aidit kavachom lehekdesh. So we have a machlok Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, how to learn the pasuk. It says metav karmo. The mazik has to pay metav, the best. Who's best? Rabbi Yishmael shita, as we learned earlier in the masechet on Dav Vav, Rabbi Yishmael shita is it's the metav of the nizak, the best of the nizak. Which means, let's say the mazik has three fields, A, B, and C. And the Nizak also has three fields, correct? Now, the best of the, if you look at the best of the Mazik, that means he has to pay his A field, okay? But if I'm going to look at the best of the Nizak, we're talking about a case where, let's say, the Nizak's C field is equal, Nizak's A field is worth to my C field. So I have to pay according to the A of the Nizak. That's the Bishmael. You go, not according to my, because if it was according to my best field, so therefore I got to pay according to my A. But I pay according to the A of the Nizak. Okay, that's the calculation according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Pasuk is just coming to tell me that what? That you have to pay Edit, Metav, Kal Vachomer if you damage Hekdesh. If I damage a regular guy, I got to pay from my best. Certainly when I pay a Hekdesh, I have to pay also from my best. Okay, but now we're going to analyze. Gemara says like this. When the Rabbi Yishmael said that you pay from the best of the Nizak, he cannot mean, we all agree, he cannot mean that you're paying more. If a guy damaged 1,000, he doesn't mean to say that you're going to pay according to Nizak and it's going to cost you now 1,500. There's no sevarat to think for a minute that he was coming to say you're going to pay more then you damage. That's impossible to accept. So the Gemara says, "Velo tema." Don't think that he meant "kerav idi bar avin." Dabar av idi bar avin kegon shachla aruga ben arugot. Rav Idi explained initially on Davav. He said, "What's the case over here? why would I pay? What do you mean that you're paying for the best of the nizak? Oh, so I'll tell you the case of Edi said. He's talking about, well, let's say the animal ate one aruga, one row amongst the rows, and what? And we don't know if he ate a good row, an expensive row, or a cheap row. The amar kum shelim shemina b'metav d'ika hashta. And what's the chiddush going to be, Ishmael? That the nizak will come along and say, all right, you got to pay me according to the good one then. Which means the mazik comes along and says, listen, I agree, my animal ate one of the rows here. I don't know which one it ate. So the nizak comes along and says, listen, I got good rows, I got bad rows. Pay me the good row. And that's what the Mishnah was saying. B'metav of the nizak. They'll be paid according to the best. That cannot be. You know why? For a simple reason, Gemara says, "Tehachi lo amrinan, my ta'ama hamutzim chaverov alav ra'ayah." We know that already. You're coming to take money out of me. Proof to me that my animal ate the best row. So for sure, the Bishma did not mean when it says the nizak. You go according to what the nizak, not according to what he says. I'll pay. Prove to me. You have a video. You have witnesses. But just because you're coming along and saying, yeah, I want the higher price. I'll pay the cheaper price. Good. So that's not Ela. What does it mean? B'metav dilkameh. According to the metav of what he has, you pay the fair price of the nizak, based on the nizak's metav. Umayniyu. And what is that? Kiyach disalik. Which means, metav of the guy's field means, of the nizak, when he said metav, he meant not based on what he ate and the field's appreciation now, but metav of the nizak after the field grows and reaches its full potential, you pay the depreciation according to that. So he's learning Rabbi Ishmael, metav of the nizak. What did he mean, metav of the nizak? I mean the best of the nizak. The best aruga of the nizak means to say, after the field appreciates to its full value, then you make the calculation. So you see, Rabbi Ishmael is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yosef, that you don't pay according to the current depreciation, you pay according to the depreciation of the future. That's the way they're learning Rabbi Ishmael. Metav of the nizak, meaning kiheach de salik, when it grows up, when everything is ready for initially when we learned nizak or mazik, we're discussing who's metav. Now we're discussing over here how you calculate the payment. It's metav of the nizak, meaning after the nizak's field appreciates, then you make the calculation on how much the depreciation was. After the appreciation of the whole field, after it grows to the fullest value, then you go down. Metav of the nizak, meaning the nizak's growth. It's a new way of learning this item. Amar Mor. One more line. Which is, when do we say over here that you pay according to the depreciation of now? That's when it ate these shoots of grapes and vines and twigs of the dates or figs. So Gemara says, "Hasmadar." But if it was samadar, which is these small grapes, unripened yet, do'in otan ki'ilu anavim omdot nibatzir. So it sounds like you're going to calculate it according to the future, which means how much they're going to be worth at the time after they would have been ripened. But we have a problem, because the Bishimon ben Yehuda, the same rabbi, said in the Sefa, Achla pagim oboser, these are figs or grapes that are half ripened. Hu deroin otan ki ilu anavim omdot lebaser. It's masha only at that stage, half ripened. Pagim oboser, that's when you pay according to a full ripened calculation. Hasmadar, what smadar was only budding, ro'ino tan kamai yafa v'kamai tayafa. It's must be judged according to what it is now. Which means the Gemara is making a hiluk between smadar and pagin and boser. Rabbi Yehuda's mash, Mishmam Yehuda's mashma. Boser and pagin that you calculate when it would be fully ripe. Mashaykin smadar, no. But the statement was, Amar Mor, implying that only Yehure Gefanim and Lulabe Gefanim, Yehure Te'nim and Lulabe Gefanim, you pay according to what it is now. Mashma Semadar, you pay according to what it is fully grown. So make a problem. We have a Stiran Deresha, Teresefa, Amaravina, Kruch Utni. Sandwich everything together and read it like this. Patros smadar in there. Smadar, pagin, or boser. So in utan kilo anavim omdot libaser.
No matter what, once it comes to grapes, even if they're budding, they just budded, or they half ripened, whatever it may be, the calculation is according to what they depreciate after they would fully have grown. That is his calculation.
You look at it according to full growth. Good. Comes the Gemara says, "Yahke Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yoshua." So he's saying the same thing, because Rabbi Yoshua and that Braita, by the way, said that Simadar, you pay according to what they are fully ripened. So therefore, it comes out Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Shimon Yehuda are saying the same ruling. Ika ben Ayu, and here's the key: Kahash Gufna. What is Kahash Gufna? Look at this here. I have a vine. Okay? Now when there's grapes on the vine, it takes the strength of the vine. When I cut the grapes off, so even though I was mazik, or my animal was mazik, but now I strengthen the vine. The vine now becomes strong because now there's no grapes on it. So therefore it's a less. So one rabbi calculates the weakening of the vine that now re-strengthened. And one says, no, you don't calculate that. So, kahash gufna, the weakness of the gefen is the difference between which both hold, smadar, grapes. You calculate not what you what the animal ate now, what they're worth after they would have fully ripened. Good. Also, same thing. Both says, no, kahash gufna ika binayu. But what the Gemara says, velo mesayme. But we don't know who says what. Meaning, I got to be Yeshua and to be Shomin Yehuda. There's enough coming out. One's going to calculate the fact that now it's a cheaper price because now you brought strength back to the tree. And one doesn't calculate that, but I don't know which one holds what. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Amar, Mesayme U Mesayme.
What do you mean? I know who holds what. I'll tell you exactly who holds what.
Man Tana Dehayesh Nekash Gufna.
Who's the opinion that says you factor in that now he re-strengthened the tree and therefore it's a cheaper price? Rabbi Shomin Yehuda. How? From something else he said.
Netanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Bishum Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya.
On this, a lady was raped.
Eno mishanem et tzar.
Now, part of the tzar of raping a betula is the pain that she suffered from breaking her betulin. So Rabbi Shimon says, you don't have to pay for that. You know why?
Mipenish yesufa litzta'ir tahad ba'ala.
She's going to get that pain anyway when she gets married from her husband.
Two different things.
So there, no. Alright, that's what I was going to say back. So you see what? According to the Bishamon, you calculate over here the Hezbon that you don't have to pay Tzad.
Why don't you have to pay Tzad?
Because this is something that's going to be in the future as well.
And then what does that got to do with us?
Hashi,
exactly.
Kash Gufna. Let's read Kash Gufna for a second. Look at the Hashi, Kash Gufna.
לנקות מן התשלומים מה שכיחשו הענבים בגפנים.
Right, it's the grapes that weaken the vine. That's kahash gufna.
אם יעמדו שם עד הבסיס.
Right, if these, he did your favor, this animal, to a certain extent. If these grapes would have stood until the harvest, the vine would have been very weakened. So therefore you have to factor that in. All right?
So אביי אמר מסיימן, מסיימן, מה תנא הדחי שכיחש גופנה לבישון דשמין עליהם בדוקטר חליטי שסופה לסטייר. Alma menakin min atashlumin kefi ma she'atida lachish.
So you see, by onus, you factor in now what the girl is going to become weakened in the future. Correct. So if you take, he says, give her a discount. Don't pay tzar now. Similarly, he'll hold by the grapes. Factor in now that, by the way, by taking these grapes off, you have now taken away the item that weakens the tree, and therefore in the future the tree is going to be strong. So factor that in, just like you factor in, you discount a lady that was ne'enas, discount this. So the Gemara asks you a question.
Gemara, what are you talking about? Amru lo, eno domen nev'elet beratzon nev'elet be'ones.
I'm sorry. He says, when a girl is raped, it's more pain.
because it was against her will. You cannot say, well, it's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway by a husband when it's willingly. So therefore, the tsa'ar of an onus is about work, which means the Gemara's challenging the Mishnah. We don't agree with that logic. You're saying, it's going to happen anyway. Well, it's going to happen anyway. We agree that there's going to be tsa'ar, but it's not going to be the tsa'ar of an onus. So comes the Gemara and says, one more piece. Amar Abaye, Hani Tana'e, the following Tana'im, the Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda had the Amran. That we just said his Shita. That what? Rabbi Shimon Yehuda has the opinion that says, you calculate the Tsar of the onus based on what's going to happen in the future. So you still have to pay, right? Hani Tana'e Mai, Netanya, Rabbi Yose Omer, Naki Haya. Ben Azai Omen Neki Mizonot. What's the case over here? You caused the lady to have a miscarriage. So you got to pay for the babies, right? So one rabbi says, but you could discount the fact that now she doesn't have to pay the nurse to give birth. So you save the money. And one rabbi says, you could also discount now Mizonot. She doesn't got to feed the babies. So therefore, you see that what? There's other opinions that calculate that even though there was a damage, but there's a benefit as well. So comes the Gemara and says, Man de aman nechi haya, the opinion that says you could subtract from the damages the price that you would have to pay the midwife, kol sheken neki mezonot. Certainly, you could discount the mezonot, the amount of extra food that you would have to feed the baby. Uman de aman nechi mezonot, but according to the opinion that just says you can calculate mezonot, aval nechi haya lo, you can't discount the nurse. Why? Mishum de amar le iteta didi pakihai velo mebaya haya. The husband could come along and say, my wife is a professional, she can give birth herself. We didn't need a midwife, by the way. But food she had to eat. The baby has to eat. So the opinion that says food is dafka food, not nurse. The opinion that says nurse, koshekin, food. What's the logic why food, not the nurse? Because again, the guy could come along and say, who said I'm using a nurse? My wife already gives birth alone. She knows how to do it alone. Gemara continues. Rappapa v'Rav Huna bered Rav Yoshua avud uvda kevated Rav Nachman b'shishim. The Gemara told us above that there was a story of a fellow that cut down a palm tree, and he went to get judged by the exilarch. By the Resh Galut. And the Resh Galut told him, well, I saw trees over there, three of them were worth 100, so you chop down one tree, so you have to pay 33 and a third. He said, I'm not interested in Dinah de Persae, Persian law. So he went to the rabbi, went to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman told him, over 60, which means, calculate over a 60 palm trees. And how much would a person now pay if one of them is missing? Obviously, it's a less of a depreciation than paying for the actual tree itself. So the Gemara says, there was a story, a case that came to them, and they indeed followed the Shita of Nachman to evaluate it over Shishim. Shtaharina, the Papa of Rav Huna, Bere de Rav Yoshua, Shamu Dikla, Agav Ketina de Ara. Which means, according to this version, they evaluated a dikla, a palm tree, bishishim again, you know, over 60, agav ketina de'ara, in the value of the field itself. The difference between the two shitot is the first one is just looking at trees, not calculating the land underneath it. The second version is saying, no, the land that has the trees on it, how much is it worth with the 60 trees? And now how much is it evaluated with the 59? So the first shita, just looking at trees themselves, 60 trees, selling it like that with one missing. And the second shita says, agav kitina de'ara. It's agav, the land. So it's a different calculation. V'elcheta kevated rapapa v'raburadre Rav Yoshua b'dikla de'arama'a. V'elcheta kevated resh galuta b'dikla de'parsa'a. The Gemara says both shitot are right, the Resh Galut and the Papa Rav Huna and Rav Yoshua, but depends what type of palm tree we're talking about. If it's a Dikla de Arama'a, we're going to follow the shita of the Papa Rav Huna that you make the evaluation, Agav Shishim.
However, on a dikla parsa, which is a very expensive tree, so there it's hashuv. There you judge each tree individually because of its hashivut, and therefore will follow the resh galutz din of you pay 33 and a third, whatever it is, whatever the value of the tree is individually because of its hashivut. As she on the bottom says, "Niklad parsa hashuv hu meod v'nishum b'fnei atzmo," and it is evaluated by itself. Comes again and says, "Eliezer Zeira." They called him Eliezer Zeira, Eliezer the Tzair, the small one, the young one. Havas siyem misane uchme. He was wearing black shoes, according to the minhag Rashis of Avelim. Mourners, Bar Minan, used to wear black shoes. V'ka'eh b'shukad Nehar De'ah. And he was actually walking in public with these black shoes on in the marketplace of Nehar De'ah. Ashkuhu de'beresh giluta. So the men of the Beresh Galut, the exilarch, the government saw him. V'amaleh, ma'ishena haneh misaneh. Well, what are you doing wearing these black shoes in public? Amalehu de'kame abilna a'irushalayim. I'm mourning Jerusalem. What, are you so hashuv, you hold yourself so significant that you could mourn Jerusalem in public? Savur yuhara. They felt that this was arrogant, which means you have to act according to your level. The great tzaddikim and hasidim, they were known to mourn Jerusalem in public. But who are you? They didn't know who he was. Who are you all of a sudden now taking on the cloak of great tzaddikim to start mourning Jerusalem in public like that? So in the olden days, ga'ava was an offense that you can get punished for. So they incarcerated him. The Gemara says, at you, v'habshua, they put him in jail. They tied him up. And what's the crime? Ga'ava, yuhara. Amar lehu, so he tells them, gavrana va'ana. I'm a gavran, a grabba, I'm worthy. Now what are you imprisoning me for? Amru de minayat inan. Wait a minute, how do we know that you're a gavran abba? Amaleu I atun ba'u minay milta. Either you ask me a question, I anay minaychu milta, or I'll ask you a question. Which means, you see from this Gemara that in the olden days, the way they evaluated if a person's Adam Hashuv, ask me a question. If I know the answer, then already I proved myself. Or I'll ask you a question, and if I stump you, then already I'm a governor. I'm holding. I'm in the obviously a Torah question. He was referring to, right? So the Gemara says, "Amru de ba'e at." You ask us a question. So Amar Lehu, very simple. Hayman de katz kufra. A guy cut down a date tree, but that she says it was bosir. Kufra is when the dates are still unripened yet. Bosir, like they just budded. My mishalim, very simple. Give me the evaluation. How, if this guy came to betin, how do you evaluate the payment of damages? Amru le mishalim de mekufra. So it's all very simple. You pay for the tree for whatever it's worth. The Gemara says ve'avu tamre. She says lehazeman. What do you mean? The damage should not be for what it is now. You also have to factor in that it's going to grow into full dates. So therefore he caused them that damage of the future growth. Amarle, so they told him, Amrule, Mishalem de Metamre. Okay, you're right. Pay for the dates when they're ripened. Amarleu, Ve'alaf Tamre Shakalmine. What are you talking? They're not dates. It's Kufra. So whatever they answered, he went back. Pay kufra. Well, what about the future? Okay, pay for the future. Well, what about now? They're not dates yet. It's kufra. Amru de emalan at. Okay, we give up. You give us the answer. Amaleu bishishim. See, the way you evaluate it is bishishim. Now, Rashi says, ima karka, with the land, deakol bichlal, shakone karka beperotea, noten enat ksat besheva shelahar zeman. Which means, it's really a combination. Which means what the tree is now, bottom line, you cut the tree is kufra, but when he's buying the field, imagine you have a field of shishim, then how much would you pay in a field that's ripened fruit, that this tree over here did not ripen yet, so you're factoring in that this tree over here did not ripen yet, so you are taking in a futuristic calculation as well, but you're also factoring in now what it is, but you do it agav shishim. Amru le, mana markivatich. So I told him, what do you mean? Where'd you get this from? Who holds like you? Amar lehu, Hashemuel hay ubit dino kayam. Don't take my word for it. Shemuel, who's dan dinim amonot, he says the halakha, he's alive, go ask him. So Gemara says, Shadru kamed Shemuel, amalu shapir kamalichu b'shishim. He said good, but he said b'shishim. Veshavkuhu, they let him go. Rabbi Shimon omer achla perot gemurim. Now the end of our Mishnah said, if a person eats perot gemurim, full, complete fruits, so then the deen is, he has to pay actual value. That's the din of Rabbi Shimon at the end of our Mishnah. If the fruits are ripened already, so then you pay the value of the fruits themselves. My ta'ama, so they ask on Rabbi Shimon. Hada manachmana ubi'ir b'steh akhir melamed sheshamin al gabi asadeh. Oh, what did we, didn't we learn ubi'ir b'steh akhir to teach me that the evaluation of damages of a field is always al gav sadeh akhir? Why are you telling me that you pay actual price? L'chaorat from the pasuk, when an animal eats fruit, it's al yedes de'acher, meaning shishim, the way we learned earlier. Where does the Mishnah get it to say that what you pay for the actual damages of the fruit? I guess hanimile midi de tzarik l'sadeh. Yeah, that's only talking about where a fruit still needs the field. When it's unripened, where it's still nurturing from the field, then you make a hezbon into the field that's underneath it. But here it doesn't need the field anymore, it's ripened. So the field has nothing to do with it. Ela, you judge the fruit itself. Rav, made a ruling like Rabbi Meir, and he was posek alaka k'Rabbi Shimon. Two different subjects. Dan Rav k'Rabbi Meir. When did Rav rule like Rabbi Meir? De Tanya. We're talking about over here of a lady. Lady gets ketubah, correct? In the case, let's say the husband divorces her or dies. So there's a ketubah payment that the lady gets. Every asset of the husband is mishu'bad. All his karka is mishu'bad to the payment of the ketubah. Correct? So therefore, she always has a lien on his assets to get paid the ketubah. Now let's see what happened over here. Detanya, katav l'rishon velo chatma lo. What did the guy do? Guy sold the field, one of his fields over there, and he went to his wife first and said, by the way, do you give me permission to sell this field? Because really, he needs permission in the sense that she has a shi'bud on that field. Lo chatma lo. She didn't sign, meaning she didn't give permission. L'sheni v'chatma lo. And what happened? He went to sell the second field. And it comes to his wife. His wife says, no problem, sell it. So therefore, she was mochel her rights to the second field. Din abda ketubata. Finished. She has lost and forfeited her ketubah debre Rabbi Meir. What's the pshat? As she explains. Lo chatma lo sadem yuchadet ketubah. Good. She can't come along and say, I was just trying to appease my husband when I told him, I'm letting him sell it. Let me explain you the mechanics that's working over here. Let's just read one more line to get it up. Devrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yecholai Shetomad Nachat Ruach Asiti Lebaali, Atem Malachim Alai. Listen, really, just like in the first case, I didn't give permission to my husband to sell the field. So the second time you did, but no, I was just trying to make my husband happy, but I didn't intend. So what do you have claims against me? Therefore what? I'm going after these fields. There's a lien on them. Therefore she can go after the first field, and she can go after the second field. She cannot come along and say that she can come along and say, I didn't mean it. I was just, the husband's asking, can you do me a favor? She wants to impress her husband a little. She says, okay, honey, don't sell it. Sell the field. But she really didn't mean it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, she gets a ketubah. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, she doesn't get a ketubah. Why? So let's get the mechanics good. The way it works is, the first field technically is pledged to the ketubah, because she didn't get permission. Good. So the guy bought the field. Now when the guy bought the field, there was another field available for him to get payment, which means if, let's say, somebody would come for a payment, they would not be allowed to go to the guy who bought field number one, because the seller still had a field left in his portfolio So the rule is, as long as the seller has one field left in his portfolio that's free, the field that's sold, you cannot go after that guy. Because he can always say, what do you mean? I bought it, I knew you had a field over there. Go after his own. What are you taking the field that was sold? Go to the seller, he still has fields that are pledged. Example, a guy comes along and says, hey, you owe me $1,000. So he comes along and says, well, I sold the field. Go to the guy that I sold. That was pledged to it. He goes to the guy and says, I bought the field. He has a field that's available. Now go to that. But the law is, once there was a field available at the time of the sale, even though later on he sells that field, doesn't matter. You can never go back to the first guy. So now what happens? The lady in the first case comes along and says, I don't want you to sell it. Okay, doesn't want to sell it. So therefore, her ketubah is pledged, correct? She has a shabud. But since there was a free field left, her shabud automatically goes to the field that is free. When she comes to the second field and says, sell it, so now already, where her ketubah could have been paid, she already is muhail. She can't go back to the first guy, because at the time of the first guy, the field was free. So therefore, she loses her ketubah from field number one and field number two, and she cannot come along and say, oh, I was just joking. I just wanted to give my husband pleasure. Why? What's the logic? Because if you wanted to give your husband pleasure, you should have given him pleasure on the first field. Why did you say no on the first field and yes on the second field? Ela, that's not a claim. The Biudah Kazuk says, no, she can't say that. And therefore, she's still able to go to the field number one, and not field number one, she gets from field number two. Because bottom line, she can say, I was just joking, I was just trying to make my husband feel good. Therefore, the second field remains pledged. Machloket, the Biudah, the Bimir. And Rav had a case like this that come in front of him, and Rav was done like the Bimir. That what? She cannot say, I was just making my husband happy, therefore she loses her ketubah. Again, she cannot go to the second field, she cannot go to the first field. And then the Gemara says, Upasakta l'chetek Rabbi Shimon. In which case, ki haditnan. Rabbi Shimon omer achla perot gemurim, mishal perot gemurim, im se'a se'a, im sataim sataim. Exactly like Amishnah. If the fruit are ripened, then the deen of Rabbi Shimon is you pay full price. And he ruled like that as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.